Hey, this is Jonathan, and this is the November Q&A podcast, and I've got 8 questions for this one, so I'm going to try to have a little bit more of a rapid clip going through them. Question number 1, I heard from Bacaland, I think he commented on YouTube, he said, "Hey Jonathan, I would like to ask you, what is the best nootropic in your opinion, and what is better, oxyracetam with phenylparacetam or Nupept with phenylparacetam?" So there's 2 questions in there. The best nootropic in your opinion. Okay, this is a question like when people say, "Hey, I want to travel the world to seduce exotic women. Which country has the best women? Tell me which ones are the best and I'll go there." And it really is subjective and based upon what you're trying to accomplish and based upon your unique neurobiology and your cognitive and personality and makeup and your different motivations. So I really can't tell you what the best nootropic is. I'm just going to have to recommend that you try a couple of the ones that are held in high esteem by biohackers and high performance, successful people. And you'll be able to select something from that that you really, really like, that you consider your personal favorite. You may also be asking, "Jonathan, what in your opinion, what in your personal view is the best?" And I have to go with the product that I created myself. And obviously I created it largely so that I could have something that really worked great for me. And that is Kabijah, which was a racetam-rich stack that used 2 special proprietary ingredients that really increased the bioavailability of the other racetams in it, that took all the other racetams that I've been using for all these years and that are held in such high esteem and took it to the next level. That product was called Kabijah, and I've sold it to about 100 people at this point, a little bit more than that. And I will consistently hear people that are veterans of pharmacological enhancement, and they'll tell me, "Wow, this is like the best or one of the best things that I've ever tried." So yeah, so I have to personally, I'd probably rank that number 1. The second part of your question, you're asking about phenylparacetam and the other, those racetams, Nupept and oxyracetam, because while you can take phenyl on its own, it's expensive. And so you really want to maximize that cognitive bang for your buck that you're getting out of it. And if you combine it with some other things, it can really take things to the next level. And I like oxyracetam more than Nupept for a couple of reasons. Oxyracetam is more proven by double-blind human clinical trials and solid science, whereas Nupept, it just has a handful of decent studies that have been done on it. And oxyracetam, based upon dealing with the people that I've talked with that are, you know, self-experimenters, self-quantifiers, oxyracetam seems to work more consistently than Nupept does. And personally, I really like oxyracetam because it, in a very subtle way, stimulates discipline. And I really can't say the same for Nupept. But I'll also draw your attention to 2 other cofactors of phenylparacetam. And perhaps cofactors isn't quite the right word, because cofactors implies that there's some type of pharmacological action that they have together, like the way that alpha GPC and phenylparacetam do. But 2 things that, as I was researching, people kept saying, "Wow, these 3 things together were just like a having a menage a trois with, you know, those green aliens from an old Star Trek episode that Captain Kirk would get frisky with," which is phenylparacetam, C-Max, and Celenc. C-Max and Celenc are these 2 nootropics of Russian origin, and they are peptides, and they work more specifically on the BDNF mechanism. And I recently researched CMAX really thoroughly and looked through, geez, probably at least several hundred anecdotal reports of very rigorous biohackers. And I kept hearing people say, phenylparoxetam, CMAX and Celank, wow. And CMAX and Celank are not, CMAX is a little pricier. Celank is really not very pricey. And so if you're going to shell out the cash for phenylparoxetam, I would combine it with those two other things if you really want to, you know, become so smart that you just figure out a invention that can deliver us world peace or whatever. Next question was from Yosheved. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. He said, fascinated by your research. Thank you, sir. I'm 52 years old. I've had two minor strokes, and I recently moved to Israel. I'm struggling to learn Hebrew. I take SSRI medication. I have to be careful about which supplements that I take. What do you recommend? And he said that he was on Zoloft and Depakote for bipolar depression. And the nootropic that you could take with a very minimal risk, which is to say virtually no risk, along with those two SSRIs, is piracetam. Piracetam, you've probably heard of. It's the original, it's one of the original nootropics that was so effective in improving people's minds, improving their memory, their ability to focus, improving their mood, that it won this class of pharmacological agents the colloquialism smart drugs. Piracetam is debatably the first quote-unquote smart drug. And piracetam is going to help you certainly with language learning. It helped me when I was learning Spanish. And I, doing some searching around for what are nootropics that have conflicts, that have an undesirable reaction with SSRIs, particularly Zoloft and Zepakote. I do not think I'm pronouncing that second SSRI correctly. Piracetam came up, and I came across a number of anecdotal reports where people were saying that they combined those SSRIs with piracetam with no problem. And I actually linked to a couple of forums where that was being discussed by people. So if you're looking for something that's real safe, I would go with that. But I would encourage you to try to get off the SSRIs. SSRIs have so many different undesirable side effects. They have these long-term negative side effects. The science that supports SSRIs is increasingly kind of shoddy. And there's a number of studies where they'll look at SSRIs and they don't do that great job of outperforming placebos or outperforming more natural type alternatives. So what I would encourage you to do, if you're not going to like totally, you know, like commit suicide if you go off your SSRIs for a week, is I would encourage you to line up about four or five different holistic lifestyle type approaches to your bipolar depression. Things like meditation and exercise and a keto diet and, you know, go and look things up on the internet. You'll find look things up on YouTube and you'll find a lot of different options. Lino and herbs, of course, herbal medicine, cold showers, maybe if you're up for it. Line up like five or six different holistic type things to address your depression, and then cut the SSRIs and start taking piracetam. And you can even take piracetam at quite high dosages if you'd like. And I would hope that you may be able to replace that kind of risky SSRI strategy for addressing with some things that have a whole lot more upside with a whole lot less downside. I hope you'll let me know how that works out for you. Next question was from Steven. He said, hello, I've been following your channel for quite some time, and I've actually been waiting to make my own brand of nootropics for quite a while. Could you give me some tips? I'm studying neuroscience at university, and I am interested in nutritional neuroscience in relation to mental health and consciousness, and I would like to get advice from somebody knowledgeable. Cool, man. Yeah, I think you should try to do something entrepreneurial. Like if you're a university student and your plan is to, you know, go and work a 9-to-5 for a corporation for 25 years following graduation and then retire comfortably, well, it's not going to work out for you that way. Our civilization is not on a trajectory where that path is going to work out. If you want to be relatively happy and successful and comfortable in life, you're going to want to do something entrepreneurial. And there is seemingly boundless opportunity in this field of health and anti-aging. But my recommendation would be to, because your message to me did not communicate that you were in a situation where you urgently needed to make income and launch something. So my recommendation would be do something original. The health, anti-aging, biohacking space is increasingly competitive. And almost every day I get emails from these new brands of nootropics or lifestyle things that people are launching. And there's just not a lot of original stuff. We're getting to that, what is it? Is it the Heinlein principle, where it's like 90% of everything is crap and there's 10% that's actually worth looking at. So what I would encourage you, especially if you're in college or recently out of college, is yeah, do something in this space, but take some time, take 6 months, take a year if you have to come up with something that's really unique, that's really interesting, that's really good, and then I'll help you promote it in any way that I can. Next question was from a Blake T. Said, hey, Jonathan, I love your work. Do you have a video or article on microdosing LSD? I'm interested in it as a nootropic. If not, could you direct me to the best resources on the subject? I have not done a video or a thorough article on microdosing LSD. And here's the reason why. I don't think it's bad. I also don't really think it's very risky. However, it is a little more risky. The reason I haven't spent much time or attention on microdosing LSD is I just don't think it offers a whole lot that the other pharmacological creativity and focus enhancing substances offer as a whole lot better deal. So when you look at like the ostensible benefits of microdosing LSD to like otherwise happy, healthy, sane people, it's like, well, it makes you a little bit more focused. It makes you just a little bit more creative. It will make you a little bit more relaxed. And these are, and there are all these like very low level, subtle benefits that it offers. And all of these benefits are offered by things like the racetams or things like the adaptogens or any number of other nootropic supplements that are a whole lot more proven, that have hundreds of double-blind clinical human trials, that have really good research that's actually done on them, which are very affordable, very accessible, and importantly, legal. You know, LSD is still illegal in many, many places. And the benefit that you're going to get from microdosing it, that ostensible benefit, is you can accomplish the same thing with all these other things. So a lot of people, they want to do microdosing of LSD, I think largely just because it's kind of like edgy, because it's like, oh my gosh, we're doing something illegal and you know, this will, you know, make for a good story to tell my friends. But the benefits it offers you are the same benefits that nootropics are much better proven to offer. And they're a whole lot more easier to get. And you don't have to worry about going to jail or having a hassle dealing with the police, or, you know, who knows, we have the government and all these different agencies spying on us 7 different ways to Sunday via our smartphone and our web browser and who knows how many other digital avenues. Do you really want to be plugging your credit card and your Bitcoin details into a website to buy packages or to buy a little packet of micro LSD doses, when that could be something that Big Brother remembers that you did? Anyways, you also asked, what about good resources? Yeah, so you'd want to check out MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. And there's a biohacking scholar that is a greater scholar than I'm not shy about saying so, named Gwern.net. And he did a really thorough, epic breakdown on microdosing LSD. So I will link to those resources on the blog article that is below this podcast, wherever you may be listening to it. Then there was another guy named Subliminal89, and he commented on my meta-analysis podcast of CMAX, and he said, "You said, Jonathan, that CMAX increases BDNF by 500%. Is that for the 0.1% stuff or the 1% stuff?" Well, that would make quite a, it's a good question. That'd make quite a difference, wouldn't it? Because if that's only for the 1% stuff that's kind of pricey, then the 0.1% stuff would only increase BDNF by 50%, which is, it's not quite as impressive, is it? Well, I went and I tracked down the study that was being referenced by the person that made that statement, and it is the 0.1% stuff. So again, as the recommendation I gave in that podcast, with CMAX, unless you really want to use it to treat some, tragic illness of the mind that you have, and you're in kind of dire straits, and you want to shell out for that 1% stuff, I think you're pretty okay going with the 0.1% stuff. That is still benefited, or that is still demonstrated to have some pretty significant effects on stimulating the plasticity and the capacity of neurogenesis of the mind, the BDNF. So you'll be fine with that. I link in the podcast article to that particular paper, which was called CMAX, a Revolutionary Neuropeptide. Hey, usually studies have more longer put you to sleep titles. Next question was from a Dean M. Hey, I'm extremely new to nootropics. I only recently been using acetylcholine and NuPEPT along with some adaptogen to manage my ADHD symptoms. What would be the recommended dose of oxyracetam? Thanks for asking. Oxyracetam is, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and that was certainly a big challenge in my own childhood and teenage years. And I gotta say, oxyracetam, if oxyracetam works for you the way it did for me, boy, you're gonna love it. It's gonna be one of the best things that you ever consumed. Because it is in my experience, it's not a very stimulating drug, but it's a drug that gives you the discipline that being a productive member of society demands. To answer your question, I would just go with 750 milligrams of oxyracetam. That's a pretty standard dosage. you can experiment a little bit with doing a bit more of it, but you're already taking some other nootropics that are going to be stimulating you. And so I think you're probably going to be okay with 750. Final question is from someone named Aldo Varez. And he says, your vids have been going pretty deep, man. I go deep, homie. And addressing some very deep visceral truths that are ahead of their time. Just calling it now. Thanks, man. Are you into Jordan Peterson? I'd really like your perspective on maps of meaning. Thank you for your work, sir. Yeah, I have followed Jordan Peterson and watched some of his videos on YouTube. He has some really, he has a great capacity for making these connections in between these really morbid events in history and between these deep, dark truths of human psychology. I have not read his book, Maps of Meaning, and I think it's quite expensive, isn't it? Last time I checked it out on Amazon, it was like $60 or $70 or something like that. And in my experience, there'll be these public intellectuals that do that follow kind of this business model of putting out a bunch of videos and podcasts on the internet where they speak really, really in depth on a given topic, and they do interviews with people and debates with people, and they really flesh their ideas out in a public forum. And then what they do is they come along and they write a book that synopsizes that book, those ideas. And a lot of times we'll kind of refine those ideas and we'll maybe cut some chaff away from those ideas. And in the case of Jordan Peterson, what I anticipate is that that's what his flagship book, Maps of Meaning, is about. It's pretty rare that a public intellectual will spend half their working hours opining publicly, and then they'll be able to write a book on top of that that covers 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 words of completely brand new content. That's actually pretty rare. Usually what it does is it synopsizes things. And in that situation, I just can't really justify spending another like $60 or $70 and then probably another like 25, 30 hours on top of that reading a book. So what I have done though is I have taken Jordan Peterson's advice and I have purchased his program, his self-authoring program. And I have started doing it. I've started writing all those essays about yourself and the different chapters of your own life. And it's interesting. And there's a couple of things that I've surprised myself, which I think is part of the objective of that. But I have not finished it yet because it is a gigantic task of writing to do all these different essays about your past experience. And at such point that I finish the self-authoring program and experience some type of benefits or some type of interesting life change, I will do a video that reports back on that. But at this point, yeah, Jordan Peterson is a real, I would say, is an intellectual influence on me. Wow, I got through 7 questions in just 24 minutes. I must be on smart drugs or something like that. Anyways, as always, I look forward to a continued conversation with you. And if there's any questions here that I did not answer to the extent that you guys needed them answered, or if there's people listening that would like my opinion on some real specific thing, if there's a question regarding your mindset and your biohacking that you haven't been able to find good answers to just by Googling the topic. And a lot of times Googling fit. A lot of times people say, oh, you can just Google anything and you can find out the question to anything. And boy, that is not the case in a lot of situations. In a lot of situations, the Google algorithm does not give you the information that you need. The artificial intelligence that Google has, while powerful and while it certainly does help us to live better lives, it is no substitute for human knowledge and experience and empathy. So if I can help you, I have the Limitless Mindset Secret Society, where I do 25-minute free biohacking consultation with people that are spending $100 or more on their biohacking, on their that they're investing into making themselves a bit more dangerous high performance animal. And I am also, of course, available for just hourly consulting. And I do hourly consulting with people, and it's always interesting. Sometimes we cry together. Sometimes we cry together, but not a lot. But that's always interesting when you have that level of connection, isn't it? Anyways, I look forward to a continued conversation with you. I said that twice, but it's my thing. I say. Yo.
Hey, Jonathan, the message began. What's the best nootropic in the land? Oxyracetam, fennel, or no peps glow? Which one makes the neurons flow? He smirks. It's not about the race. It's which stack helps you find your place. Jonathan, the biohacker, so sapient and so deep. He's always there to answer your questions, you see. From race steps to LSD, he knows it all, and he'll share his wisdom with anyone who calls. Just ask Jonathan, he's the man to know. He'll help you on your journey and make you glow. A traveler in Tel Aviv, feeling slow, learning Avrit, letting neurotransmitters flow. Zoloft's got him in a serotonin maze. Depakote dims those dopamine rays. But our sage says easy, don't despair. Even synapses can grow back with care. Another voice said, I got a dream to make my own stacks, to chase that gleam. But I never went to school, no new lessons degree. Jonathan laughed, neither did me. He said, start small, start smart, and keep it clean. Stack wisdom higher than your caffeine. A whisper came through the pixel haze. Microdose LSD, will it set my brain ablaze? He winked, it's a fine line between spark and smoke. And every trip starts with a measured toke. Do your homework, measure right. And don't text your ex in the middle of the night. So when your neurons start to lose their spark, and your brain fog rolls in after dark, Jonathan's got a stack that'll make you beam. Sharper than caffeine, cleaner than a dream. So November winds hum through the wires, biohackers tinker and tweak their desires in the lab of life. He lights the flame and answers every question with a curious aim. Life's an experiment, he softly mused. Just don't mix race stamps with booze. You made it through this AI song, what a feat. And sure, we all hate machine-made beats. But trust me, friend, it could be worse. Jonathan could sing, and that's a curse. So subscribe to the Limitless Perchance today, where wisdom drops, not auto.